Welcome to Shaped by Scripture. This month, we'll continue walking together through Scripture, helping you memorize it, understand it, and live it out in practical faith-shaping ways. Here's what we believe. When God's Word takes root, it bears fruit. It reshapes how we think, reorients how we live, and renews how we love. Scripture doesn't just change moments, it changes lives. So wherever you are today, pause for a moment. Take a deep breath. Open your heart to what God wants to say. And let's continue this journey together, allowing our lives to be shaped by Scripture.
Welcome to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. My name is Scott Thomas, pastor of Lone Oak First Baptist Church and host of this episode. And I am excited not only because of our subject today, but I am excited because of our guest. Some of my dear friends, people that I look up to, think very highly of, have so many things to say about, which they can't wait to hear. But I'm also excited because of our theme. We are in the second week of our planted series, which is a 4-week series about making the most out of your faith and having a faith that lasts. And today we're talking about spiritual influence, how we can be, as Jesus calls us, light of the world. And so, before we jump into the theme, I want to introduce you to these special guests. The Lord put these folks on my heart for this particular week, and there is a reason that they don't know why the Lord put them on my heart, Dean and Lori Kaufman. But let me tell you why. Do you want to guess before I tell you?
I'm anxious to hear.
I don't want to look bad.
You don't want to. You can't look bad, Dean.
Well, if I make a bad guess, it looks bad.
Dean, you and your wife look like you guys walked out of a catalog. There's nothing in your lives that looks bad. I appreciate it, though. The reason is because, like, this passage comes from the Sermon on the Mount, and you all were standing with me the first time I ever saw where Jesus stood to preach this message. And I thought, these two people shared that moment, which was so special and sacred. And I thought, who else to have a conversation about this theme than two people I stood with where we looked at the rock where Jesus stood to preach it? So that was
great. I love it.
I mean, is it true?
It is.
It's very true. Yes.
So, like, we have that, and I thought, let's have this conversation.
Great.
Why?
Yeah.
It was so emotional that day. We didn't really get to talk about it then. At that day when we were on the Sermon on the Mount, and then when we went down to the primacy of Peter on the shoreline where Jesus showed himself, I was so emotional that day. I couldn't talk. There were several times where Samer asked me to preach, and I couldn't get a word out because I just kept weeping.
That was my favorite day.
Mine too. It's
one of those days where less is more.
Yeah. Yeah. It was remarkable. So we'll chat more about that. But first, let's share with our listeners a little bit about who you are, Dean and Lori Kaufman. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? How long have you been at Lone Oak?
We've been at Lone Oak, almost 4 years? A little bit over 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've been married 38 years this year, and we have two daughters, 32 and 28. I work at CCA. I love it. It's a great place to be.
How long have you been at CCA?
Just since January. I worked at Clark Elementary before that, and just always been in a school, working around kids, working around teachers. It's what I know.
You love it.
I do.
That is good, because there are many out there that don't. They do not want to work with children. So thank you for your service to the community. And now, you know, to the Lord. You've been serving the Lord in a lot of capacities, but I think it seems so much more prominent now that you're a CCA. Probably because I have two kids out there.
Yes.
And so we can really feel the investment that you're making there.
Thank you.
Now, what about in the church? You've had several involvements in the church. You do more than just show up.
This is true. I am part of the women's ministry team, which I love. I have a special place in my heart for women's ministry. And Dean and I both share a heart for widows ministry. And we're very involved and active in that ministry and also in missions, which we love, and we are able to do together.
So you all went to Chile most recently, which was a good trip.
It's great. Right.
We've got a report lined up for a Sunday night coming up. The 24th, yeah. So it's just around the corner, and we look forward to hearing that report. All right, Dean, tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? What is this stage of life looking like for you? Lay it all out there, Dean.
61. I've worked all my life in international business. I've traveled abroad. I've been just about everywhere. Started a business here. We moved back to Kentucky probably around 2000 to take care of my parents. They were both, they both had illnesses that were kind of a long-term type. Mom had Lewy body's disease and dad had a stroke. So we moved back to take care of them. And I started a small business here, and we've just lived our lives and took care of my parents. Mom died in 05, dad died in 09. That's what brought us back to Paducah. We were in Charlotte, North Carolina at that time. We lived in Knoxville, and we just always kind of wanted to come home. So here we are.
Yeah, that sounds like a promotion, Knoxville to Charlotte to Paducah. I mean, it just keeps getting better.
That's right.
In my opinion.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Tell us about your business life.
I worked in, like I said, international business, so import of all kinds of equipment for the steel industry.
Okay.
Worked for companies in Germany and Europe, England, and just all over. China, Japan. I've been able to take Lori with me, so we've been a lot of places, but we just domestic steel industry stuff. It's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah, but you've been able to experience a lot of different places. Here's something we need to note. You have recently walked through a transition in your own professional life.
I have.
You have. Would you say that you have retired from what you were doing?
No.
You haven't?
No, I sold a business that I spent a large part of my life building. But if you go back to what I've always done, which is international business, I'm just jumping back right back into that. I just won't own the enterprise.
Okay.
I'll work for the man, so to speak. And it's like, I kind of look at it like mowing grass. I mean, it's mindless work that I've always done all my life. And you don't have to spend a lot of time thinking about it. It's like mowing the grass.
It is. Hey, if I've ever heard an analogy to explain the little I know about international business, mindless is definitely what I would say, right?
There you go. It then.
Fantastic. You can jump right in anytime.
Yeah. Come up. Welcome aboard.
No experience required.
That's exactly right.
No, goodness. Okay. Let's jump into our conversation today. What we're talking about is spiritual influence. Particularly, we're talking about Matthew chapter 5. This week, as a church in our Shaped by Scripture materials, we've been looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Now, this is one of the first weeks, all right? This is one of the first weeks where we've had kind of like this this pro level. You could memorize what we call it, primary level and expert level. A primary level is memorize just 5:14, but the expert level for those that wanted the push is to memorize verses 14, 15, and 16. So regardless of where you are, any effort towards sowing the word of the Lord in your heart is a positive movement. But the verse of Scripture talking about Jesus is talking, preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." All right, Dean, Lori, I want to know, what do you think?
I think it's the last verse that you read where it says, "In the same way, let your light." I really look at it as a reflection of light rather than just what does my light look like.
Mm-hmm.
I have an analogy that I want to tell. It's kind of like the moon. You know, the moon doesn't generate any light at all. It just reflects the light of the sun. And, you know, if it wasn't for the sun, we probably wouldn't even see the moon. The moon would literally be invisible. And I think my life is by and large, that's it. I'm a reflection of the light of Christ. And I looked into another kind of interesting, I'm always looking at definitions and using quotes, and my life group that we teach, they limit me to two quotes per lesson. So
that's smart. But, I mean, what a strategy.
But do you know when the moon is the brightest? Mm-mm. The moon is the brightest on a full moon. And the full moon is when the moon, the earth, and the sun is in perfect alignment. Hmm. And I look at our lives the same way, that when we're in perfect alignment vertically, then we will shine the brightest.
That's a good word. That's a good word. You know, this is what it's about. It's about being in alignment, but not being in alignment just to absorb all of the light, but to reflect it. Like, we have you use the word vertical alignment, but we have a horizontal responsibility as well, which is part of what we're talking about, is having spiritual influence. You know, a faith that lasts is a faith that's being exercised and being shown, expressed, I think would even be a word. People that mistaken faith as private rather than personal, I think they are ones that struggle, because our faith, it should always be personal to us, but it shouldn't be a private matter. It should be a public matter.
I was just going to say, I think that speaks to a generational issue, that sometimes older people, I know when my grandmother didn't talk a lot about her faith. It's just some things were private.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't talk about money. Mm. You didn't talk about politics. There were certain things you just didn't talk about. So I think people have to learn how to talk about their faith. And one thing that has helped me is being involved in a women's group. We get together. We share and we discuss and we debate and we love on each other. So we talk about our faith a lot.
So let's talk about this. Having Christian conversations, right? Like our faith should penetrate everything about who we are. Like, we should not compartmentalize ourselves, but there are times where the conversation is specifically Christian themed or Christian topics, where we are in intensive discipleship. What has that looked like in y'all's lives? You've always been very involved in the local church, but you've also worked in the secular world. So talk to me about what that's looked like in your life, having Christian conversations. Have they just happened, or have you been intentional about them?
Intentional. In my workplace, there's a Bible sitting on the break room, and there's a devotional book there as well. And what I used to do to kind of generate conversations with people I worked with that were non-believers, I do these object lessons for the children's ministry, and I also do an object lesson for my mission work as well. And I always go in and say, "Hey, can I try out my message, my object lesson with you? Give me some feedback. Yeah. See what you think." And that has really opened up a lot of opportunities for to open up the word to people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's a way. There's an approach. How about in your life and ministry, Laura? You were in the school system, so there's some challenges there.
Yes, there are. But I've always shared it in some form or fashion. You know, God would lay on my heart, go and talk to this person. You know, and I would try to go and just say, "Hey, you know, the Lord's told me that I need to talk to you, and I'm going to be obedient. Is there something on your mind? Mm-hmm. Do I need to pray with you about something?" And sometimes they would say, "No, I'm good."
Yeah.
And that's great. But I would always follow up and say, "I'm still going to pray. You're still on my heart."
Yeah.
But
it's hard to turn down an offer like that.
Who would turn down an offer of prayer?
You'd be surprised. No one would turn that down.
Yeah.
Believer or unbeliever, they'll generally let you pray.
And I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
There's a little girl I was telling Dean at Midtown. I think I've even mentioned her to you, that has just been on my heart. I go to Midtown, get a coffee. I love going in there and just talking to her. And, you know, I asked her, I don't know, 3 or 4 times after I'd been, and just said, "Hey, how can I pray for you?" And she said, "I don't know." And I said, "Well, I'm going to be praying for you." Went back the next day, thought, I'm gonna follow up. I tried to be very intentional with her. And she said, hey, I really appreciated you asking me about praying for me. I do have something. And so she shared it with me, and then she said, hey, how can I pray for you? And so we built a little relationship, and, you know, it's been a very intentional relationship, which I think is what we have to do. We have to be intentional. We can't just say, hey, how are you doing, and expect, oh, I'm okay.
Yeah.
We have to be intentional when we talk with people.
Spiritual influence, it rarely does it happen by accident. I mean, there's instances where you accidentally influence someone, but if you're not making the intentional choice to reflect the light of Christ by being aligned with Him, I mean, it's going to be a rare thing. And so intentionality is critical for that. What about, do you have any last thoughts on that? I've got another. I want to shift that one just slightly, but
I'm always looking for opportunities. One of the things I do every Sunday morning is I go into Munnell's Donuts to pick up donuts for our class.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Every once in a while, I'll benefit from that.
And it doesn't matter who is in that that store, whether it be the clerks or customers. I am always happy Sunday to everyone, patting them on the back, and the staff, they know that we do mission work. And one of the women she's from Argentina, so when we're going down to Chile, that's always interesting for her. So just this last week, she's asking me all about the mission trip, what were we doing, and you have a lot of peripheral people in there listening to that, and that's just another opportunity. And that I was reading before we got ready for this about making an effort to be a light in the mundane. It really doesn't matter how normal or how regular or how ordinary your activity is. You always have an opportunity to make a positive impact in little service, little things of service.
I
was going to say, I think we all forget that we have an influence on everyone. But is it a good influence? Is it a spiritual influence? Or is it not? And I think that's where the intentionality comes in. We want to be intentional because we are wanting to leverage that influence for the kingdom.
That is a good word. Y'all are preaching today.
And leverage that influence.
You are. Yes. We, like I say to guys all the time, you are leading, if men with a family, you're leading your family somewhere. Where are you leading them? It's not,
that's
you're
true.
Never not leading them, but you're influencing everyone. And I can think of nothing more thrilling than to leverage your influence towards the Lord. Like, you can take mundane, dreary days and you can make them dynamic and exciting. And it may not always be a win, right? Like, it may not feel like you're winning, but, you know, there's something thrilling about being obedient to the Lord and a witness for the Lord.
But you really don't know what a win is on this side of the cross.
There you go.
We don't know what an internal impact some little interaction will have.
You know, the problem that I have, Dean, is I get so competitive when it comes to, like, sharing the gospel and witnessing to people. Like, it's probably to a fault, but I wouldn't want to trade it. But, like, I want to see people, like, I want to see their lives changed. Like, pushing.
You want to be the closer.
Oh, yeah, I do. That's exactly what I want to do.
That's the way you're wired.
It is. I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it.
But I'm fine being the person in the middle. You know, just being the light.
Yeah.
And that's, we all have that.
I'll prepare
the
soil. She'll plant the seeds. You can harvest.
I just want to finish. Right. But, and again, this is something I love about the local church. This is a little off topic, but I love the local church because the local church doesn't need to be filled only with sowers. It doesn't need to be filled only with harvesters. It doesn't need to be filled only with waterers. We need to all be participating where we can in the different areas. There are times where I simply need to sow so the Lord can remind me, this is not your work, brother. I'm the one that does the growing. And there's times that I need to water so the Lord can remind me, hey, I want you to see how much bigger of a deal this is than just showing up to pick the fruit. And then every once in a while, the Lord lets us have that sweet moment where we get to see the harvest.
So we all have a part to play.
We sure do. We sure do. All right. Here's a transition I want to make. I want you to share with me a little bit about how do you all influence each other in your marriage? Like, what does your spiritual influence look like within your marriage? y'all are both believers. You both have quiet times. You both know the Lord. You study His Word. You pray. But we know that in the Christian walk, there are ebbs and flows. And sometimes the Lord puts your spouse there to help you through one of the ebbs so that you can get back to the flow side. So what does it look like? And I want you to share this just from whatever you feel comfortable sharing, but namely, like, for people that we have listeners who are potentially unequally yoked, and they're trying to figure out how to be an influence to their spouse. We have other listeners who either the husband or the wife is just, they're lagging behind in their walk with the Lord. And so their spouse is trying to be an intentional witness to them, maybe not to win them to Jesus, but to win them to being discipled. So how has it looked in y'all's life to be spiritual influences towards each other?
You know, I'm going to just say we haven't made. I mean, we have a situation where we have a common mission. And we were talking about the vertical alignment. If you get that right, all the peripheral stuff will come into focus pretty effectively.
Okay.
And for us, we did this on our last mission trip. We did a assessment of our spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. And we each had two or three that we highlighted, and I wrote them down. Mine was teaching, admin, and giving.
Okay, hold on just a second. If you're listening, spiritual gifts are unique gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit for the edification of the church. You can read more about them in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Furthermore, if you will stick with Shaped by Scripture, we will spend nearly an entire month on it in September. But the spiritual gifts, Holy Spirit has given every believer a gift, and that gift is to be used for the enrichment of the kingdom of God. All right, Dean.
So we literally took a test, and it ranked our top three. Mine was teaching, admin, and giving.
Yes.
And then Lori's was faith, mercy, intercession, and shepherding. So what that...
See it so clearly.
We did too.
But it's so clear.
So when you look at that, those gifts kind of feed off each other.
Yeah.
They support each other, and they build each other up. And then we had some common gifts. And sometimes when you have common gifts, it becomes a contest tug and pull. So, but our two common gifts were giving and admin, which if you were going to pick two that's going to support everyone else, that's the two, because you can organize it and you want to give to it.
Yeah. Sometimes administrative people are what I call no. They're like, we're not doing it. Yeah. We might be able to do it, but not yet. But what a beautiful coupling of administration and giving. Yeah. We're gonna organize it, and we're gonna pay for it.
Make it happen.
That's right.
I think I figured out why I like y'all so much. So much. All right, go ahead with your story.
I'll finish up with that. You know, when we look at what we've spent the last 5, 6, 7 years doing on the mission field, and we've been doing in the church with the widows ministry and teaching a life crew, because I tell everyone the most important thing that I'm going to do this week is teach that life group.
Mm-hmm.
And I start preparing on Monday.
Mm.
And I'm preparing all week long.
Thank you.
That's the most important thing that I will do. And we're doing it together. And even if you're not equally yoked, if you find common ground on service items, everybody likes doing stuff for people, I would mm-hmm. think. You know, it makes you feel good. And the rest might come over time. You never know.
I agree. No, I think there's always going to be times in a marriage that one is a little further along, or you know, one's trying to catch up. But you just continue to pray and work and talk and discuss, and that's one thing. You know, I know on Monday he's putting his earbuds in as he goes out to walk Ellie, and he's in the next lesson, and so we discuss that. We talk about, you know, whatever we're talking about on Monday night in my Lyft group. And it is a wonderful thing for us to be able to share God's word together outside of our private time.
Can I talk about that Lyft group just a little bit?
Yeah, tell them what Lyft group is first.
So it's a women's group. It's ladies in fellowship together. and there are several within the church. I would say we have 15, and it's just a time of some of fellowship, study, loving on each other. It's great.
Okay, so Lift Group, tell them really quick, plug. If there's someone that's like, I could use that in my life, a female, what would they do to, or do y'all, are y'all accepting new members? Is
always.
There an initiation fee?
No, we just placed over 50 women after our January event. We placed 50 women in the Lift Group.
Okay, so if somebody's listening, they're like, I need to be a part of that.
Call the church office.
All right, call the church office.
And they will get us their name, and we will find them a group.
Yeah, you want to be in a Lift Group. It's intergenerational.
Yes.
It is a remarkably rewarding time. My wife is all the time like, I need to go to Lift Group. I need to go to Lift Group. And I'm like, Carly, I don't think your Lift Group meets every third day. She's like, well, I'm the pastor's wife. I need to go to all the Lift groups.
She is in multiple.
She is.
Yeah, that works for her, too.
Yeah, it works great for her.
She's in Miss Martha's group. That's a wonderful group.
Martha Lawrence? Mm-hmm. Oh, what a doll. What a doll. All right, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, when the ladies start coming, and this is just part of letting your light shine in a small way, but as the women are bringing their food in, I try to help them bring it in. And I could easily stay upstairs until it's time for me to leave, or I could leave early so I'm not interfering with anything. But I try to make an opportunity to kind of meet and talk with all the women while they're all coming in and help them with their food and just, you know, just be interested in their lives and their well-being and all of that. So, yeah.
He is very intentional.
That's a good dude right there.
Yeah.
All right. You guys said that you all are aligned. How did you know that you were?
We didn't.
Did y'all talk about it before you got married?
It was providential. I mean, we just had it made. I mean,
the Lord just brought you together.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how they brought us together. It's a story in itself. You could edit it out, but I'm going to tell it.
Do it, Dean.
So we met at a wedding. She was the maid of honor, and I was the best man.
I'm so glad you didn't say she was the bride and you were the best man.
But there was a guy that I was out of convenience. I didn't hardly even know the guy, but we were traveling to triathlons together. We'd see each other at a couple of triathlons. He said, "Hey, let's carpool, save some money." So I'm riding to an event with this guy, and he says, "Hey, will you be my best man?" And I was like, "Do you not have anyone else to ask?" He said, "No, I really like for you to be my best man." And that's how it all started.
So this random, hitchhiker that you picked up,
basically, yes.
It was like being my wedding.
Yeah. I knew the bride. I grew up with the bride.
Oh, she was best friends.
I was best friends with the bride. But I will say that looking back at that, I do feel like that was, I mean, obviously God's hand.
It's bigger than us.
Yeah, it's bigger than us.
So did y'all date a while, or did you just marry the same night of the wedding that you met?
We didn't marry.
You're like, hey, we're already dressed.
We did not date long, let me tell you.
So 2 weeks later.
2 weeks, but it's less than a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So y'all, but you knew each other were believers. Were y'all believers at that time?
Yes.
So you already had your priorities in line.
That is correct.
Was it difficult for you guys in your younger years? Were y'all both vocal about your faith, or did you all have to learn to talk about it?
I will say, and we have not obviously talked about this, but I will say that for a lot of years, I think he had his faith. His faith was his, and mine was mine. And then, you know, we had children. And then that does change it, and we have our faith. It's our faith, and we share in so much of that together. If that makes sense at all.
How did you do it? How did you bring your faiths together? Because you are personal, like you have your individual soul responsible to the Lord, but you are one in covenant. So how did you bring it together?
At the church we attended, I attended for 57 years. This is the church I was born in. My dad was an elder there. My granddad was an elder there. I was an elder there. I was a deacon there. But Lori and I started serving early in our ministry when our children were young in the youth ministry. We started a children's church. We taught middle school and elementary, Sunday school. And that's kind of really, that's that ground or that work kind of shaped our faith, relationship, and our, you know, and our walk pretty much, because we're walking that together.
So it wasn't like a, hey, we need to have a joined faith. It was more of a, we need it's to organic. Serve together, mm-hmm. and it just brought you together.
That's
and I think serving together is huge in that. I mean, it has definitely helped us. We've a lot of what we've done, I mean, has been together. VBS or... Mm-hmm.
Multiple, like 20 VBSs. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Even, you know, we serve together in the widows ministry, and we love it. So, and missions. So we continue to do that. And it we love doing that together.
But the mission work in Chile has really taken it to another level.
Really?
Oh.
Tell me about it.
There's this girl, Ariana, that was, we did a ESL.
Yeah.
And we didn't know this at the time. We just found this out last trip. But we met Ariana online.
ESL is English
as a second language.
It was an online course mm-hmm. that was taught by volunteers, that's primarily right. from Lono.
That's right.
Connecting to Chileans mm-hmm. who wanted to learn English.
Biblical based, you know, the stories at the end that we were reviewing, all the English topics that we were talking about were, you know, like the prodigal son
yeah.
and the Last Supper and all that kind of stuff. But Ariana had fallen kind of away from the church. And this is Alexis, this is his daughter, and Maria. And she kind of bonded. She was one of our, each small session or small group on the ESL has an interpreter.
Yeah.
And her English is very good. So she was our interpreter. And that's kind of what brought her into this whole class. And she had actually kind of fallen away, and Lori had a connection with her. And when we ended up going this last time, they asked her to come up, Lori, to come up and pray with Ariana, because she had kind of come back.
Wow.
Come back around. Lori's in contact with her constantly, sharing devotionals and things of that nature. And it was just, her husband's a non-believer, and she's a believer, but she kind of fell away. And now the husband, I get the impression, just coming around, and they have invited us to their wedding in November.
As the best man and the bridesmaid?
No, we've been there and done that.
Y'all tried? Okay.
We've aged out of that.
Oh, you've aged out.
Yeah. It's like John said one time, children's ministry probably has a maximum age. We've aged out. Yeah.
That was an unexpected turn in our conversation, talking about marriage and the influence and coming together. But I find it to be it's intrinsic to it, like it's spiritually influencing one another. But if you're not walking together in y'all's faith, it's really difficult to be an influence. It's just, you know, there's some intimacy that's lacking. And so I would encourage you, if you're listening to this, start serving with your spouse. If your spouse is a believer, if they're engaged in the church, start serving with them. If they're a believer, they're not engaged in the church, start serving with them. If they're not a believer, I mean, if you can find a place for them to serve, I don't think it would be the worst thing. Sometimes proximity can help persuade people, and that's a good thing. And so this was an unexpected turn that I find to be remarkably helpful and tremendously insightful. So I want to share. I want to thank y'all for sharing that. Thank you for accepting the invitation to be our special guest on episode 19 of Shaped by Scripture.
Thank you for having us.
You all are the best guest I've had on this episode. The
that's,
best.
That's
guest.
All we can hope
all
for.
We can
Dean,
hope for.
Home run, Lori. Home run. Hey, about before we wrap it up, about that time in Israel where Jesus stood and he spoke these words. You remember there's this city up on the hill. Do y'all remember seeing that? And then salt of the earth, there's Magdala. Is that how we say it?
Magdala,
the city where Mary Magdalene is from, the fish market with salt for preservation. Mm-hmm. Y'all remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be so good. It's going to be so good. I can't wait to... Actually, I'm not even going to get to preach this.
What?
Sam's preaching.
Oh, that's okay. Right. Yay. Sam's right. Going
to
be
Sam's
here.
Preaching this passage. Maybe this passage. He better preach this passage.
Better give him the heads up.
I probably ought to tell him, huh? Yeah, probably ought to tell them. Anyway, hey, thank you guys for being with us. And I want to thank you for listening to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. God is continuing to do a mighty work in the lives of His church through His Word. And so I want to encourage you not only to listen to the podcast, not only to read the Shaped by Scripture material, but let me encourage you, be in the Word of God. These are supplements to the Word, but they are not a substitute for the Word of God. And I want to encourage you, the entire point of what we're doing is to get God's people in the Word and to get the Word into God's people. And so I want to encourage you, stick with the Word. Continue pressing on and memorizing and reading and understanding. And may you see that God will shape you by His Scripture.